And I'm going to introduce our guest tonight. Our guest tonight is a professional singer, songwriter, recording artist, Reiki master, interfaith minister, writer, and lover of people, and lives a lifestyle of balance and peace. Her energy level has always been high, and living macrobiotically has opened that up even more and given her an even focused way to use that energy. Each day brings more of her dreams to life. But her life wasn't always like that. At 47 years old, she spent most of her adult life struggling with weight, body image, and health issues, and was at the end of her rope, trying yet again to lose weight and feel good. And by the end of 2006, she found herself at her heaviest weight, 268 pounds, on medication for high cholesterol and blood pressure, and sleeping with a machine for sleep apnea. Her doctor suggested gastric bypass surgery, which shocked her into taking some kind of real responsible action to take care of herself. She discovered macrobiotics through a friend, and it changed her life. It is my pleasure to have, as our guest tonight, Bridget Kosser. Did I say that right?
You said it right. Thank you.
Okay, Bridget Kosser. Great. Thank you for joining us, and tell us, when and how did it all begin and what happened?
Well, like you were just sharing, I spent most of my adult life trying to lose weight, trying to feel good about my body and how I looked, and discovered in 2006 that I really had some health issues that I probably had for quite a while and didn't know about. So 2006 was my year after being on every diet pretty much that there is, except for the prepared foods and the kind that come in a can.
How early did your weight issues and health issues begin?
When I was about 21, 22.
Okay.
That's when my health issues really, really began. I did pretty well before that.
Okay.
And after I got married and moved away from home,
okay,
I gained 80 pounds in my first year of being away from my family. Obviously some emotional issues, which I wasn't aware of, a lot of things like that, and I found myself using food,
okay,
which I probably had done as a child, but it just didn't show up the same way as an adult. So I started using food to comfort and numb myself to some extent.
Right.
And
what kind of foods would you eat?
What kind of food would I eat?
Yes.
Oh boy, really good stuff. Like really, Entenmann's and McDonald's, and I really liked sweet. I like sweet things, sugar and salt.
Okay.
And fast food usually met my needs for everything, which was sugar, salt, and fat.
Where were you living at this time?
I was living in Pennsylvania, outside of Philadelphia, at that time.
Okay, were you? Is that where you were born, or?
No, I was actually born in San Antonio, Texas, and moved to New Jersey as a baby.
Okay.
And grew up most of my life in New Jersey until I got married, and lived in Pennsylvania for about 9 years.
Okay.
Lived in the Midwest for a couple of years and then came back to the East Coast and lived in New Jersey for probably another 6, 7, 8 years. And then in 2004, I moved here to St. Louis, where I am now.
Okay.
But during the time of my weight change, I was living outside of Philadelphia and really liked cheesesteaks, too, when I lived there. Cheesesteaks, you know, sub sandwiches, pizza, all of those things with soda, and desserty things were things I was really attracted to during most of the time. Typical fast food kinds of things, convenience foods, ice cream, liked ice cream too, and Kind of went that way for quite a while, for a good 8 years.
Okay.
And then one day kind of realized, wow, I really feel uncomfortable, and more than uncomfortable, I felt like I didn't look very good.
Okay.
And the whole image thing drove me to start my first diet. And I was shocked when I went and got weighed that I was over 200 pounds and really threw myself into this diet and an exercise regime and lost a lot of weight.
Okay.
Which lasted for about 5 or 6 months.
Okay.
Do
you remember how much?
About 52 pounds. I lost around 50-ish, 50
okay.
pounds or so. And felt, I thought, pretty good about it, and until whatever was inside of me that was kind of causing this imbalance and making me kind of unhappy with myself kind of drove me into the same habits again that I was trying through dieting to get out of. And so I gained the weight back plus more and kind of kept doing this.
Uh-huh.
I was vegetarian at one point in the early to mid-90s. A couple of times I actually was vegetarian, but was a cheese addict. That's another thing. I loved cheese. Big, big-time cheese. I remember getting ready to start macrobiotics, and that was the big thing for me, and I hear tons of people say this now, too. I don't think I can give up cheese.
Mm.
How am I going to give up my cheese? Because I was really addicted to cheese, loved it, ate it every day.
Yes.
And so did the diets, did the exercise thing, and got into this kind of loop
mm-hmm.
where I would be really strict and really good, do my exercise, lose weight, reach some goals, and then head back the other way again, gain the weight back plus more. So the first time I went on a diet, I think it was 208 or 209 pounds. And as you read, by the time I hit this one in 2006, I was 268 pounds.
Mm.
So I gained and lost a lot of weight over time.
Mm.
Very, very disturbing, disconcerting, and discouraging.
Yes.
So that by the time 2006 rolled around, I was so discouraged, part of me had given up.
Uh-huh.
So that when the doctor suggested that I was a candidate for gastric bypass, I was completely in shock because I thought that was for people who were 500 or 600 pounds whose health, in my mind, was threatened, like they were going to die.
Right.
So.
Hello?
Hey.
Yeah.
So. That was a turning point, but to back up a little bit, moved here to St. Louis, and St. Louis isn't exactly forward when it comes to healthy food.
Okay.
It definitely is revving up. We've got a lot more here, which I'll get to that a little bit later. But it's a really easy place to eat poorly,
uh-huh.
as is any place if that's the choice you're making.
Right.
But here, it was definitely an interesting challenge. And I did the diet thing once I moved here too. I was here for a couple years and did South Beach. I did Weight Watchers. I've done quite a few of those things a number of times. So.
Okay.
So. Anyway, so go to 2006, once you have a question about my earlier years. You know, let me say something about that, too. Because I'm a professional singer,
uh-huh.
body image, the reason I include body image is because that was a huge challenge for me.
Mm-hmm.
Being in the entertainment field and being over 200 pounds, 250 pounds, was a huge challenge because I'm blessed and gifted with this fantastic, beautiful voice. Yet what it's housed in can be judged before anybody ever hears me.
Right.
And then also being able to function and do my very best at my job sometimes was really challenging given the size of my body and how well I could breathe. I'm a really good breather because I'm a singer, yet I still felt pretty challenged given what I was eating and the extra weight.
Yes.
So that was a really big challenge to have the profession that I've had
yeah.
and have that much weight on me and not look the part.
Mm-hmm.
So then we fast forward, go to 2006, and that was kind of my year to begin taking care of myself in some way, shape, or form, since the only way I really knew how to do that was to diet and go to the gym.
Right.
Nobody ever taught me anything else about food other than the values that are assigned to them and what I'm supposed to count.
The calories.
There's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of counting.
Uh-huh.
Count points, calories, carbs, fats, protein. You just keep counting. And I never, ever read an ingredient label.
Huh.
Ever. I read the nutrition facts because that's what I was taught to read.
Yes.
So I had no idea exactly what I was eating. I just knew whether it fell into the range that was acceptable value-wise for the food that I was eating.
Right. Okay.
So 2006 comes, and I go for all of these tests. I actually went to my doctor, and actually what precipitated that is I'd gone on a trip to St. Thomas and came home with bites all over my legs and my arms, and they didn't go away for 2 weeks, and went to an urgent care, and they took my blood pressure, and it was about 230, you know, that was that time my blood pressure was 210 over about 105.
Oh my.
Yes. So they said, really, by all rights, we should send you to the emergency room. Do you know how to meditate? And I said, yes. So they let me stay in a dark room and meditate for a little while. And it came down a little bit, and they let me go with the agreement that I would see a doctor the next day. So that started the whole range of tests. So find out I have high blood pressure, I have high cholesterol, and I have sleep apnea.
I see. What were those bites that you were talking about?
It was from some kind of bugs.
Right.
They gave me some kind of antihistamine, and they went away.
Okay.
I suppose they were my impetus for my wake up call. That's what I kind of call them. It was the universe's way of saying, hey, you need to go find out what's wrong with you,
right,
even though you don't know there's something wrong with you.
Uh-huh.
Okay. They went away pretty quickly after that. They were painful. They burned and itched all at the same time, and it must have been some kind of sand bug from the beach out there.
Right.
So anyhow, they went away, went for the battery of tests, and came up with this, went on medication for those issues, and started sleeping with a CPAP machine.
Okay.
And I was told that when your blood pressure is high, when you don't sleep well, it can raise your blood pressure.
Uh-huh.
And then you gain weight.
Oh.
So by the end of the summer, I really expected to see some kind of difference because I was sleeping better.
Uh-huh.
And, well, with medication, that helped my blood pressure some, but I didn't lose a pound. And by the fall, I was pretty discouraged, where I was pretty close to kind of just accepting that this is how I was going to be for the rest of my life.
Right.
And this is when my general physician suggested gastric bypass, and I kind of went home, and that shocked me. I was diagnosed with Meniere's disease about 11 years ago, and was having a lot of issues with that. Went to what's that?
Can you explain what that is?
Meniere's disease is an imbalance, a disorder of the inner ear, and it causes dizziness, spinning, vertigo.
Okay.
Ringing in your ears.
Right.
Nausea. It's really disruptive.
Right.
I'm still not sure if that's exactly what I have, but that's what I keep being told that I have. And when I went to this specialist, I said, look, this is getting worse. It's really interfering with my life. And they did all the tests and said, well, you know, you have Meniere's disease and you need to take these medications. And both the medications, Meclizine and Valium, I don't do well with because they make me so sleepy that I can't function. And they said, well, if this medication doesn't work to control this, and we're going to talk about surgery, where everything came out normal. They're talking about doing surgery on my ears when there's nothing showing up to do surgery on through an MRI.
Right.
That was actually the straw that broke the camel's back for me.
Okay.
And that's when I got angry, and then I also realized that I wasn't doing everything that I could to take care of my own self and my health.
Yes.
Still didn't know what I was going to do, but boom, there are wake-up calls. And in December of 2006, I remember sitting in my living room, and this feeling came over me where I couldn't take living like that with these medications, with all this extra weight, with how I felt, not one more day. And I finally, like, went inside and asked, I just looked at the ceiling and just kind of was talking to the universe, to God, whatever, and said, I have no idea what to do. I can't do this anymore, but I don't know what else to do. All I know how to do is diet and join the gym.
Right.
And this little voice inside of me said, well, you need to stop eating sugar.
Oh, interesting.
Uh-huh. And you need to go in your closet and clean it out, and anything that doesn't fit you, you have to give away. Well, the sugar part was easier, apparently, because I didn't do my closet for about 4 or 5 days. But that's what started me reading the labels on my food. And I wouldn't buy anything that had sugar in it. I learned all the names for sugar and started reading the labels.
Well, that's fascinating. By divine inspiration, you were told not to eat sugar. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, that it was clear as a bell. You need to stop eating sugar.
Okay.
And it was easy. Now, previous to this, in October, I had been out for a visit on the East Coast, and my friend, Barbara Pano, had started doing macrobiotics a couple of years before for a condition that she has. And while I was there, she was telling me about it. Of course, I was not open and receptive yet. It wasn't time for me. But she planted the seed. She was making her rice and cooking her vegetables, and I was watching her, and in my head I was thinking, hey, that's great for you. When are we going to the Italian restaurant so I can have some good bread? Because I live in St. Louis now. I want some bread and some pizza and some good sauce.
Yeah.
But it planted a seed, and so I started on this, and her counselor at the time was Denny Waxman, and she had told me about him, and you know, we didn't really talk about it very much, but it was one of those seeds that were planted. So after a few weeks of not eating the sugar, we were getting ready to go back to the East Coast after the holidays, and a little voice inside of me said, you need to go see Denny Waxman.
Uh-huh.
It didn't say you need to be macrobiotic. It didn't say anything. It just said, you need to go see Denny Waxman. So lo and behold, there's a cancellation on the last day I'm there, and I meet Denny.
Okay.
Are we good?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay, good. So I meet Denny for my first consultation. And, of course, you know, Denny is doing facial diagnosis and, feeling my hands and my ankles and my feet. And I'm sitting there going, I have no idea what he's doing, but okay. And, you know, he kind of pegs my constitution and my personality, which – I was, you know, I'm a pretty open spiritual person. I love metaphysics. I love all kinds of things. So I was intrigued by it. I wasn't put off by it. I was very drawn in.
Okay.
And I remember him saying to me, you know, given who you are, you need to be a wide macrobiotic practitioner. You need to practice wide, because if you try ever to be narrow, it'll never work for you.
Okay.
So you have a very strong constitution, and I'm like, okay, that sounds good to me. So you need to practice macrobiotics in a wide fashion. And then he was telling me, you know, we went through environmental things, and he was telling me about doing a body rub and showing me how to do it. And because I had issues with my body image and my body in general, that really got me upset. I'm like, can I pay someone to do this? And he looked at me and smiled, and with his Denny smile, and he kind of laughed, and he said, no, this you have to do this. So that was actually harder for me than not eating cheese or doing all these other changes, because my issues were really connected to my body and how I feel about my body. So anyway, we go through all the recommendations, and that day changed my life. I remember going to the restroom in Denny's Denny's home and coming out of the restroom and seeing the room from that view and realizing that I actually had dreamed about meeting him like 13 years ago.
Oh, my. Wow.
I recognized the pine tree in the corner and the tablecloth, and I just looked at him and said, I dreamed about you and this day. And he said, well, it's about time you got here. So that day changed. It changed my relationship with food, and it changed my relationship with myself. And I found it very easy. I didn't miss anything.
Okay. I was going to ask you that. Yeah.
I didn't miss anything. I lost 25 pounds in 5 weeks without trying.
Wow.
I was focused on the food and preparing it, and I was calling Barb every other day. Am I doing this right? Because I didn't have anybody here in St. Louis mm-hmm. to take classes with or anything like that. So I was really focused on that. My cholesterol, the bad cholesterol, LDL, was cut in half in 7 weeks.
7 weeks. Wow, wonderful.
7 weeks, and the doctor said, wow, this just doesn't happen with medication. What are you doing? So I told her and was very disappointed that she didn't follow up with it, because I said, look, I don't know that much, but I'd be happy to tell any of your patients about this and help them.
Right.
And there is no interest about it at all. So I was really, really disappointed about that. I remember quite clearly now.
Yes.
So within 4 months, I'd lost about 52 pounds, again, without trying. I wasn't going to the gym or anything like that. I was just really focused on doing the best that I could to do my food and to body rub and to walk when I could. A lot of those things challenged me, but I did the best that I could. And I, within 4 or 5 months, was off my medications and wasn't sleeping with a machine anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And so then kept going and...
How is your family taking all of this?
How is my family taking all this? Well, let's see. My son started culinary art school at the same time I started macrobiotics, which means that I ate nothing that he made at school. There, he wasn't too happy about that because he started with traditional French cuisine.
I see. Yeah.
Yeah, so you can imagine I ate nothing.
Right.
So in the beginning, a lot of my friends and family thought I was nuts.
Okay.
They thought that I was being very extreme.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't understand why everything seemed so drastic. Mm. Eventually, my husband and my sister was living here at the time as well, started to really enjoy my miso soup in the morning, and they started eating vegetables in the morning, and they started to enjoy it. Seemed weird for a few weeks for them, but then they kind of got on board. They didn't exactly embrace a practice, but they ate what I made.
Okay.
They were supportive, yes.
Uh-huh.
Now, I have a lot of people around me who just really thought I became the food Nazi and that I was a little Nazi and that I was pushing everything to the edge.
Okay.
They just couldn't really understand why I wasn't eating so many things and why I was eating other weird things to them.
I see. They saw that you lost all this weight and were keeping it up, right?
Yes.
And they didn't think about...
Well, they did, but I think what I experienced and what I got later on was it's a reflection for people to see what I was doing, and inside their minds they were thinking that they were going to have to do the same thing in order for them to have the results that I did.
Uh-huh.
And most people aren't willing to do that.
Right.
I find a lot of people need to go slower and more gradual.
Yes.
And there's very few people who are going to just jump in.
Right.
Unless there's some desperation or urgency to their life and their situation.
Uh-huh.
I had an urgency to mine. I didn't have, in my mind, a life-threatening disease.
Right.
Although it was completely affecting my life and how I could live.
Yes, absolutely.
So it didn't look as threatening as cancer might or something like that, but still, I was pushing it.
Yes.
I was pushing it where I was going to create my own threat.
Right.
So, yes, they could see the changes, but they thought that I was going about it in a very
extreme way,
yes. Because okay. People see someone changing things to that degree, and they think in their minds, I can't do that.
Right.
Or I don't want to.
Yes, okay.
And then I had some people who just stayed away from me because I achieved something that they wanted, and we previously had shared being overweight together and not being successful around it.
I see. Well, that's...
And so they were jealous, or it just was a little too painful to hang out with me.
Oh, that's too bad. Oh.
Eventually they came around because I'm a person who would ask them directly, hey, how come you don't, like, talk to me anymore?
Right.
And I had a few people that I just asked directly, you've not said anything to me about this change. I mean, I don't really care if you comment on me losing weight, but it's just bizarre that at the same time that this all happened, you kind of disappeared. Can you tell me why? Or, and one of my friends came right out and said, well, really, quite frankly, I'm jealous.
Well,
which I appreciated the honesty. So there's a lot to this.
Right.
You know, you think that everyone's going to be really happy for you.
Right.
And not everybody is, because they don't really want you to change, because that might mean they might have to change and they don't want to.
Right.
I've learned a lot around all of this, and some of it's been beautiful and easy, and some of it's been really challenging and a little bit painful, but that's part of the process of some of this old stuff coming out.
Yes.
You know, all the discharge, the letting go, it's all part of the process. You don't just lose weight physically and not have things happen energetically.
Right, right.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So towards the end of 2007, which was my first year in macrobiotics, I started going to school with Denny. He did his intensive, and by the end of that year, I'd lost about 90 pounds. Then in 2008, I did the comprehensive certification program for the year. I flew back and forth.
Okay.
I stopped weighing myself after a while, so 100 pounds, over 100 pounds, somewhere around there. I was close to a size 24 when I started, and at this point I'm around a 14.
Oh, my.
So.
Hello?
I put a lot more value in how I feel than looking at numbers and scales anymore.
Okay.
Which is tremendous.
Great.
So that's kind of the story. I went to school. I learned tons and tons about the philosophy and the foundation of macrobiotics. And I just loved that one of my textbooks said the way to health, happiness, and peace is the kind of textbook I want in school.
Right.
And I just loved, and I feel like I've only scratched the surface still.
Uh-huh.
You know, I've taken other classes and cooking classes, and, you know, I teach now too, because once I was done with the intensive at the end of 2007, I couldn't hold it in. I wanted to share this with people because I was so amazed, really, at this different context completely.
Right.
Food and life and eating and our bodies and what this is all for, and I just had to do something to share it with people. So I started cooking for them. That lasted about 6 weeks. Little voice in my head said, you're not supposed to do this for people. You're supposed to help them learn to do it themselves too, just like you did.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
That's great. So let me ask you, when you, in that first year, did you take cooking classes or...
I didn't take any cooking classes until November of that first year when I went to the intensive.
Okay. How did you manage?
Oh, wait, I did. I took one cooking class on sea vegetables, I think, that May or June.
Okay.
But that's pretty much it until the end of the year.
I see. So was it difficult then, just cooking the foods?
Some of it, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Some of it, because I had no idea what I was doing.
Right.
I'm looking at making things like nishime or kinpira and kind of not really knowing what those meant until I went to school and found out.
Right. Okay.
You know, miso soup, I had instructions, I had recipes to follow, but I didn't really know what they were supposed to taste like or look like.
Uh-huh.
And so that's why I think it's really important. Like I've been told by every counselor and teacher, you have to have support. You have to have community.
Right.
Because that's how you learn the best.
And, yes. So how often did you see Denny Waxman?
In the first year, I saw him, I'm going to say twice.
Okay.
I think I saw him twice.
Uh-huh.
And then I went to school in 2008, so I saw him every month.
Right. Uh-huh.
And then I met Warren Kramer. I met Patrick Riley and a few other people. I also met the Rices. The Rices came to talk to us. Gennad and Sheldon came to talk to us as well, which was just beautiful.
Great.
So, yeah, I saw Denny every month then. And then...
Now, do you still sing?
Oh, yeah.
So how did it affect your singing?
Oh, my gosh. My voice just got so much better.
Uh-huh.
I could breathe better.
Oh, great. Yeah.
I could breathe better, so my voice, it changed.
Uh-huh.
You know, I keep saying the last CD I recorded was in 2005, and I was still eating animal products then and sugar.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I can't wait to like record, because I haven't recorded really a CD since then. I can't wait to record the next feel, see what it feels like, you know, what the energy is like that comes out being a little cleaner.
Right. And did you do any exercise?
The exercise has been kind of a touch-and-go kind of thing. When I sing, I do a lot in the senior community, and I'm really, really active in that, but I don't do anything regular. I still struggle with walking outside every day regularly, and that's kind of my goal and my focus right now is to try and really connect with that so that I really want to.
Okay.
But, no, I haven't done a whole lot of formal. I've done a little bit here and there, but no formal exercise, especially during the first year, other than doing some walking.
Oh, wow. And that's amazing. So you just basically lost that weight by changing your diet.
Yep.
Okay. And then, would you say in about a year you were able to get off of all the medications and everything you were on?
I was off of all the medications within 5 months.
Within 5 months. Okay.
Yes.
Wow. Fabulous.
Yes.
That's fabulous. And you don't have any cravings at all whatsoever? Not, you don't crave?
Oh, no. I didn't say that.
Oh, okay.
No. In the beginning, I really didn't have any cravings.
Okay.
And I went away after about 7 months. I went away on a family trip and ate some bread or like a kind of bread that I normally wouldn't eat because I was somewhere where there wasn't a lot of choice. And that just like... There were certain things that still set me off.
Okay.
And there were emotional eating patterns that I'm still working through.
Okay.
And over the last, 10 months, it's been kind of stressful. I've had a stressful situation going on in my personal life and found myself going back to those things but in a different way, just still, I crave French fries, I crave bread.
Okay.
But I have a different understanding as to why I'm craving them.
Okay.
It doesn't mean I don't crave them at all anymore.
Okay.
Because those things, until I think they kind of, they really discharge out of your, I mean, I'm sure it takes years for that to happen. But,
right.
You know, for me, I probably gained 15 pounds.
Okay.
But then I kind of sat and went, wow, I'm really using these old tools as a way to kind of keep myself from, you know, really having to feel what's going on in my life. And so, you know, rather than 80 or 100 pounds, I stopped at 15, which is huge. It's tremendous. So now I can kind of sit and figure out, well, where do I need to create some balance for myself?
Right.
And take care of myself in this situation instead of trying to eat it down again, which is what I did most of my adult life.
Right.
And to me, even though I gained a little bit, that's a huge win.
Uh-huh.
It's a success because it's not like gaining 100 pounds and another 20.
Right, right.
So now I'm going the other way again.
That's great. Okay.
Yeah, it is. It's really great. Now, I can't say that I don't have cravings. I do, and every now and then I'll email someone, or I used to call Denny every now and then, but
uh-huh.
or my friends that I've made now over the years, and say, "Oh my Lord, what is this? Why do I want this?"
Because
I know it feels yucky, but I still want to eat it. And,
okay, yes. So like, what things? Like, do you crave cheese?
Oh no! I still don't. I don't miss cheese at all.
Okay.
I mean, if I do, there's cheese. Other cheese products that are vegan or whatever that I try, if I really need to, I can go there. But eating regular cheese
uh-huh.
kind of blows my mind, my head now.
Uh-huh.
The energy of it's a little strong for me, and I just kind of don't do that. And so there's another thing that's so beautiful about macrobiotics is that before I would say, well, I have to stop eating this and this because it's making me gain weight. Well, yeah, I feel like I'm gaining weight, but not entirely from that. And more than that, I can feel where it doesn't feel good.
Uh-huh.
I can feel where I feel clogged up.
Okay, after you eat something that you shouldn't be eating.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Instead of just, I'm gaining weight and it feels bad, it's like, no, wait a minute, I'm eating this stuff and it feels bad in my body and I can feel it.
Right.
And that's motivating me more than I need to lose weight again.
Right.
I know that as I take care of my body now, the weight again will just go.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me just ask a couple other questions. Did you use any emotional therapy or counseling or meditation or anything like that?
I did see a neurotherapist in 2006
uh-huh.
before I started macro, which actually really kind of prepared me.
Okay.
He kind of really helped me prepare with what my biggest fear was.
Uh-huh.
He helped prepare me for some of the people who would disappear out of my life because I changed so much.
Oh, okay.
So that was really helpful because I'm a big people person, and
yeah.
that would have really affected me quite negatively before.
Okay.
And so although I wasn't happy about it, I was able to handle that.
Okay.
So that I did, and I do meditate.
Uh-huh.
I do use tools to kind of help me be quiet and get inside of myself so I can listen, just like that voice came to me and said, stop eating sugar. I want to listen to that voice a whole lot more.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's great. Well, I'm going to open it up now to anybody who would like to ask a question, and you can do so by pressing 5-star on the phone, on your phone, and I will be able to call on you. So please feel free to do that anytime right now and join in the conversation. Any question or comment you'd like to make, please press 5-star on your phone. In the meantime, what else are you... So now that you've done... Okay, we've got a call here. Hold on.
Mm-hmm. I just was curious if you have joined any potluck groups or study groups that are just self-propelling with people in your community other than just going to the formal things with Denny.
There used to be macro potlucks here a few years ago. There aren't any anymore that I'm aware of. I've done a few, like, private ones with a few people that I found here. And I actually had community dinners at my home for a couple of years when I started this.
Uh-huh.
I haven't done that in a while because we'd end up having 25 people in my house. So I want to resurrect them again because it was wonderful. And here's part of the deal is not actually none of the people who came were macrobiotic.
Wow.
But they were willing to experience vegan macrobiotic food. Mm. So there isn't a big population that I'm aware of people who are macrobiotic here.
Mm-hmm.
More people who are vegan.
Right. I'm wondering if maybe you might be successful in finding I know that Gerard Lum out in Palo Alto, they have had a group ongoing for, I think, several decades, and they do it at a church. It's a community. I mean, and people don't necessarily have to belong to that church, but they do a dinner, and so that's a way of getting people, because I've thought about trying to get a church interested where I live, because I want to start communities so I can sustain my own practice.
Mm. That's a good idea.
Yes.
Because a lot of churches already have kitchens, and a lot of them, you know, very often have, you know, people who are advanced in age and maybe might be more interested in taking charge of something to, especially in these economic times, if they think they might be able to get off medications, there might be an economic incentive, too.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. And I actually have a church nearby where I run an organic community garden. So I actually never thought to approach them and see if they wanted to do something like that there.
Well, you could start small and just do one and then do one another month and see if people would help. And I think they now have a chef that does it, or they have somebody that, you know, that does it. But another circumstance that I was in, I volunteered in a restaurant, and a macrobiotic restaurant, and did it so that I could learn. And you didn't get paid, and it worked. There were a lot of people that volunteered, so that sort of gave me the idea that, well, you know, a lot of people will come and help, and you can do it, and it's sustainable without there being any financial things involved.
Okay.
Great idea. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Great. Wonderful. Yeah, tell us a little bit more about the things you're doing, Bridget. You're doing this community garden and... And also, if anybody else has any questions, press 5-star on your phone, please.
When I was out east in 2007, 1 year, I had friends who started an organic community garden because there were a lot of people who couldn't grow their own food on their property. And I thought, well, what a great idea, because I was in 2007 that they started it. And then in 2008, I started teaching classes and realized there were so many people who didn't even know, like, how their food grew or where it came from.
Yes.
And so I started a garden.
That's great. Well, we have another question here. Hold on.
Good.
Hello? Okay, there we go.
Hi. I really have been enjoying listening to you talk, and I'm semi-new to macrobiotics, and I like what I could really relate to what you were saying, Bridget, about how you still had cravings, but you kind of deal with them differently, and I just wanted to know if you had a suggestion, like, for a sweet craving, like, what would you have, you know, on macrobiotics to kind of take care of that?
Well, there's a number of things. It depends what really sets you off, because there's plenty of recipes where if you wanted to make cookies or you can eat some Canton, but I have to say, like, two of the things that kind of help me when I make sure I have them available and they're kind of prepared is their sweet vegetable drink really helps, and creamy sweet vegetable soup.
Okay.
And also carrots, like carrots that are just lightly blanched.
Mm-hmm. That gives you that nice sweet taste and kind of.
Yeah,
just,
and I can kind of get that sugar sweet taste, and that works pretty well.
Okay.
Unless I'm in the real throes of it and I gotta have like chocolate, but even chocolate, I eat grain-sweetened chocolate, and I pretty much most of the time, I mean, every now and then I might stray, but the grain-sweetened chocolate really does it for me.
And it doesn't make you, like, crave more and more? Because I know some of the sugary stuff.
I don't eat that much of it.
Yeah.
Okay. And I usually eat it with fruit, or I eat it in a cookie. But I find for myself, like, if I kind of stay away from the flour, and I kind of go towards more of the vegetables, I'm much better off.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Great. Thank you. Again, if you have any questions, press 5-star on your phone, and I'll call on you. So now you have somewhat, you have this thing called the Big Reveal that you're doing. What is that about?
My Big Reveal is a 90-day program. It's not a seminar. It's almost like a workshop, but it's a program that brings the mind, the body, and the spirit together. Because a lot of times people who have health issues or want to lose weight, anything like that, they're focused in their body, they're focused in their mind, but there's usually a piece of the triangle missing.
Uh-huh.
And so we have coaches who help to facilitate bringing all of that together to work as a whole. And it is awesome. I'm the spirit coach. I work with people around their food and their energy.
Uh-huh.
And then we have people who work with beliefs, thoughts, things like that, which is, you know, your mind. And then we have people who work with body,
uh-huh.
how you move your body, how you don't move your body, connecting to it, because so many people are disconnected
right.
from their bodies and their beliefs. So, and their food, for that matter, and sometimes their spirit. So it's this beautiful 90-day program that helps bring all of that together.
So it's just like an ongoing coaching kind of program? Or
kind of coaching, but it also creates a team. So
okay.
the people who participate together become a team.
Oh, great.
And then each group that goes through gets to mentor the next group.
Great. Wonderful.
Yeah.
You also do cooking for people, or you cook, or you teach?
No, I teach.
You teach cooking, yes.
I teach cooking classes, and I teach macro plant-based education to people. And I do that, I have two Whole Foods out here that I teach in. I also teach in the Wellness Community, which is a nonprofit cancer support organization that has a program, a two-year program that was donated. I'm cooking for wellness, and I'm honored that they asked me to teach it. So I love that I get to bring this context and this way of living to people who, I mean, I'm not doing counseling or diagnosing of any kind.
Right.
But they're asking, can we have a basic,
great,
you know, series in macrobiotics?
Oh, wonderful.
Which is beautiful, because then I get to bring teachers here.
Yes, that's wonderful.
Yay, because then I get them too.
That's great. That's wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah,
we
have the gardens going out, the classes going.
Uh-huh.
You know, you can always, if someone wants to find out, I mean, the easiest thing to do is to go to my website, which is BridgetKosser.com.
Okay.
And then all of the other websites connect through that. So you can find out about all of those cool things that are going on through my main website.
Okay, and that is, again, Bridget Kosser, and how do you spell that?
BridgetKosser.com, BridgetKosser.com.
Okay, is there a phone number also where they can reach you?
Yeah, you can reach me at 314-920-6110.
Okay, and the email is?
The email is Bridget Kosser.
Uh-huh.
@gmail.com.
Great. Wonderful. And for those of you who are interested in seeing Denny Waxman, you can contact him through his website at www.dennywaxman.com. That's dennywaxman.com. Good. Again, if you have any questions, please press 5-star on your phone. And so how is your husband? Do you have to cook two meals at home?
Heck no.
Okay.
This is one of those houses. I mean, he actually didn't eat any animal products at home for a really long time. He just started over the last 6 months, he's added some in.
Uh-huh.
And he generally will make himself some meat, something like that, when I'm not here.
Okay.
He does enjoy the food that I do make. I mean, macrobiotic food is delicious. So,
uh-huh.
You know, we had a beautiful meal tonight that was fresh corn. Yay! So excited, fresh corn!
Wonderful.
That was another thing. Of all the other diets I've done, like, corn was a big no-no because
oh, really?
Of sugar content. And when Denny looked at me and said, "You can eat corn?" Good for you, Edith. I said, I love you. You're my new best friend. I love you.
What are some of the diets? Can you name them all that you did before?
What are some of the diets I've done?
Yes.
I've done Weight Watchers in person and online. I've done the South Beach Diet. I've done the Zone, Eat Right for Your Blood Type. I did the Yeast Diet.
Did you do
I think I tried the Grapefruit Diet. I mean, I've done so many of them.
Wow.
Yeah, I've done a lot of them. The only thing I didn't do is, like, the Jenny Craig Nutrisystem things, because something in me just said, you don't want to eat packaged food.
Right.
But, yeah, and I've learned a lot of really interesting things over the years, and when I started doing macro, I was really happy to let them go and not feel like I had to count anymore. There's quite a freedom that comes, and macrobiotics is all about freedom.
Yeah.
But this is a freedom in a whole other way. Some people who have never dieted can't imagine what it's like to live your life counting your food.
Yes, I can't. I can testify to that. I can't imagine.
to be able to be free of that and to not be obsessed with a scale, either by weighing your food or weighing yourself, I mean, it really is. I remember Denny looking at me and saying, I don't want you to think about losing weight. And I looked at him and I said, are you crazy? What do you think I think about all the time? He said, well, it's probably why you don't lose weight. He said, no, truly, I don't want you to think about losing weight. I want you to really focus on making this food. And, I didn't know what I was doing when I started, but, man, oh, man, it's just this beautiful big world, and I love it, and I'm so grateful to my friend Barb for introducing me to this. You know, it's funny because we're almost out of time, but we were neighbors in the 80s and early 90s, and we weren't, like, real close friends, and we just reconnected.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And it was one of those supposed-to-be things.
Great.
Yeah, so I'm really grateful for that, and for Denny and Susan and all my teachers, and there's just so many wonderful changes that have happened because of this way of life.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Any last words you'd like to say? Any last suggestions or?
To be gentle and easy on yourself, and realize that it is a practice, and it will go on forever. And every day, every week, every month, every year, bring something new and a different awareness as your body changes.
So you will never go back to what you've been doing before.
Oh, no, no, no. There is no way. So that's why I say when I gained a little bit of weight, that's okay, because I know now what I need to do to start balancing again. But there is no way I will ever go back to what I used to do. That has changed permanently for me.
Yes.
And How can I, my heart ever say how grateful I am for that? I never thought it was possible.
Yes.
And it just happened, and it was easy. I want to stress how easy that was. And, yeah, I'm challenged, and, yeah, I still have cravings, and, yeah, life goes on, and I just keep learning how to shift.
Great. Wonderful.
Yeah.
So if you could just say again how we can get a hold of you, people can get a hold of you if they want to have.
You can go to my website, www.BridgetKosser.com, or you can call me 314-920-6110, or you can email me, BridgetKosser@gmail.com. And I love to talk to people about this. I could talk about it all day long. So I'm happy to email with someone or talk to you, whoever shows up in the space. I'm excited to share this.
Excellent. Wonderful. Well, thank you for joining us, and thank you for sharing your amazing story. And again, if you're interested in contacting Denny Waxman, who was her counselor and teaches these programs that she learned from, you can contact him through his website, DennyWaxman.com. This call has been recorded and will be posted. The recording will be posted on the website my website, which is www.phiyakushi.com. If you go there and to Bridget Koster's entry, you'll find this recording on there shortly. Up next, next Sunday, our calls are usually Sunday afternoon, 3 to 4 p.m., and Monday evening, 9 to 10 p.m., but next Sunday is the 4th of July, so there won't be any call next Sunday, but on the 5th of July, Monday evening from 9 to 10 p.m., our guest will be Mr. Gary Davis, who, after witnessing and being part of the horrors of World War II, gave up his U.S. citizenship and became the first world citizen in an effort to prevent World War III and the destruction of humanity by nuclear weapons. He inspired the world from and many great thinkers and leaders, from Albert Einstein, Albert Camus, and Albert Schweitzer, and none other than my parents, Michio and Abilene Kushi. He continues to this day at age 87 to live as a world citizen and promote his cause of world government for world citizens. Join us on July 5th, Monday evening, for this incredible special guest. And again, thank you, Bridget, for joining us, and thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. And have a great evening. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good evening, everyone. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.